Lord God, we just praise you for our church. We thank you for all the people that we have. People that have a heart for you, on fire for you, wanting to serve you in whatever ways, in the front or in the background. And Lord God, we thank you for our church. We thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord God, that you're our God. And as we have the kids' church upstairs, we have the message here. Holy Spirit, I just pray, Lord God, that you use us, use Oksana, Matthew, and myself in a way that glorify you, glorify your name, and give us your words, Lord God, to share. And also for each one of us, I pray, Lord God, that you will continue to do your work in us, continue to encourage us, comfort us, and as well as challenge us. Give us that soft heart, Lord God. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week I was talking about clay. We are clay in a potter's wheel. And I was asking God, you know, like what he wants us to do, want me to do for the church, even for the next season. I've been asking that. And God has really given us this material that I'm going to share. And we've been doing that this year, actually. It's actually a set of Bible study books. It is called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And a lot of the materials that I was looking through it, it feels almost like that process when the potters keep kneading the clay to making it the way that he's going to use it for his purpose. And a lot of the material that, as I was looking through even each chapters, I feel, oh, I wish I'd known that 20 years ago. I would make a lot less mess or make a lot less mistakes. But God is good. And the one of the things with this book was, if I want to share, is that actually a testimony of a pastor who was pastoring a big church in New York. And he came to a place of his church looked healthy enough. It was growing. It was in New York City. A lot of people attending, but also a lot of problems. And it was almost like battles after battles, trying to get things to work and things. And it's just a lot of, you know, like internal problem within leaderships or as well as within a church. It's totally looked different to when we start a Bible study, that we will all walk with the fruits of the Spirit. We will all love each other. And the church is the most amazing place to be. And it's a church family. You just say, oh, I love you. How are you? And give each other a hug. And he said that, yeah, you get a sense of that, but then you get a lot more sense of brokenness and people talking to each other and going home feeling hurt instead of coming to church feeling good. They go home feeling even worse than before they come in. And it came to a point that his broken point, you know, Matthew was holding all the chairs. For this man, he came to that broken point was when his wife told him, I don't want to do this anymore. I hate you. I don't want you to be my pastor. She does not want to be married to him even. And she was taking four kids to another church. And then some of his leadership left. And he was in that broken place of finally letting go of all the big stacks of chairs, and he has a big stacks of chairs because he was a head lead pastor of a big church, and they have three services, and they have services for Spanish speaking in the afternoon and everything. And there was a church split and everything. So there's lots of brokenness, a lot of hurt, lots of anger, lots of emotional pain, and him and his wife end up having to go to this marriage counseling. They say that they have tried everything. They know all the scriptures. They've done lots of Bible study. They pray more. They've fasted more. And they have do more marriage course or, you know, Bible study course, but they couldn't break out of that mold. And when they actually have marriage counseling, that's when they realize a lot of the mistakes he was making was because he was leading from a broken, emotionally not healthy place. A lot of it was from his childhood. A lot of it was from more of his understanding, what does serving God mean? A lot of it was from a place of, you think, like you have scriptures say you have to die to self. So he was really making sure everybody, when you're serving God, you die to self. To the point of they hate going to church is the one place that they really feel dead. Instead of being alive in Christ. So that's all of those topics were part of what, from the brokenness that came out from the healing. And this is just the first book. And I literally say that I wish I'd known this 20 years ago. And I just want to do slides of some of the chapters of what's in it. And the name of the guy is actually Peter Scazzero. He's Italian, so I don't know. Maybe Sonia know how to pronounce his name. Oh, it's very small. Sorry. Yeah, I don't know how to do slides yet. That's one of those things. I just did a PDF file, so I will read that out. So these are the topics within that book, and this is just the first book. Yes, another one is emotionally healthy relationship, and then a third book is to do with leadership. This is the first book, and the whole purpose of it is let's do church together, and let's deal with our own stuff, and let's do church that when we all start from ourselves, we will have a more of a healthier body of Christ. And the only way we can do that is when God works in our lives. So so it comes down to quite a few points that he was saying. The first chapter is the problem of emotionally unhealthy spirituality. So he is talking about something is desperately wrong when we look across churches. How come so many people say, I love God, but hate church? And then, so that's actually already wrong thinking. If Christ loved his body, why would we think that way? So the only way we can deal with it is let's focus on ourselves of why was I thinking that way? Is there anything that I can actually change about myself? I can't change the next person. Like the Bible says, take the log out of your eyes first before you can take the speck out of the other person's eyes. Until I take the log out. The log is in my eyes. I actually can't see very well with the other little bits in your eyes. I'm going to do a lot more damage trying to help the other person if I have a log in my eyes. So that's the first chapter. And the second chapter is know yourself that you may know God, becoming the authentic self. A lot of the time in churches, we're not really authentic because we all put on these things of, I'm well. When people ask you, how are you? I'm great. And inside you're feeling like, I wish I could just died. Or you're feeling like you want to curl up in a ball and just cry your eyes out because that's how you feel inside. You're in a room full of people, but you have never felt more alone in your entire life. You have lots of people you call friends, people who are around you. You're worshiping God together, but you just feel like nobody understands you. Nobody cares. Even when you do share, a lot of the time you might feel that they actually don't really understand how I'm feeling. So to be able to verbalize, becoming authentic is actually to be able to share how we feel in a way that maybe somebody else can understand. And knowing ourselves, that when we know more of God is always there. So that's the second chapter. And the third one is going back in order to go forward, breaking the power of the past. So our past affects how we function today. Sometimes it's like a broken record of all the things that happened in our past. If we keep replaying it over and over and over again. And it affects how we live today, our lives. But because it affects so much of our lives today, if I keep trying to look for the future, I can't get there because I'm making wrong choices every day of my life in the present. How can I actually look to the future if I keep making mistakes? and the presence, and the mistake I'm making in the present was because based on something in the past that affect my thinking, affect my understanding. And then the fifth one is enlarge your soul through grief and loss. Surrendering to your limits. So a lot of the past, sometimes we just push it down. It's so broken. It's so painful. We don't want to think about it. We just move on with our lives. We keep pushing forward. I can do it. God is my strength. I can keep pushing forward. But not knowing some of the brokenness when we keep pushing forward, we're not being released from the past because it still have that chained wrap around us, that we're actually still living in that fear. We feel we have to deal with this in our own strength instead of actually God's strength. And then the next one is discover the rhythms of the daily office and Sabbath, stopping to breathe the air of eternity. That's one of his main one. Do we stop and think what we're doing? Do we stop and actually put down our load and come before God and take that time out? He's very, very big on, even when you actually come to do devotional, to sit there just silent for a few minutes. A lot of the time, even our devotional become a to-do list. Imagine if I'm going out tea and coffee with somebody that I really want to spend time with. In my mind, I'm thinking of like, oh, I need to do this. I need to do that. Oh, yeah, I need to meet up with them for tea. But my focus is so much of I need to do this instead of I want to be with them. I want to hear them. So one of his things about silence, actually silence is, it actually stops us even doing things like worship or reading the Bible, thinking we've done it. It's like if I go out with somebody with tea and coffee, I keep doing what I think I need to do, but I haven't actually stopped and listened to them. So he really go back to that Sabbath rest, taking time out, but also even being in that place of silence. Then the next one is grow into an emotionally mature adult, learning new skills to love well. We want to love. That is a heart desire. And when we're given our life to Jesus, we read the Bible. We do want to. None of us on purpose say, I want to be the worst Christian. I want to hate well. Nobody actually say that. Because it actually shocked us when we actually have done something that hurts somebody. Because Christ is in us. Christ is love. It is in our desire to say, I want to do well. I want to love well. But how can we keep making mistakes and how can we keep hurting people? How can we move on from that? There's a learning new skills to do it. And then the next one is go the next step to develop a rule of life, loving Christ above all else. Of course, everything is because of Christ. It's always about Jesus. He's our beginning. He's our finishing. He's the middle. He's the beginning. He's the middle. He's the future. He's everything. Without Christ, we can't do anything. We can't do it in our own strength. We can't do anything without Christ. But with Christ, we can do all things. So out of this pastor's brokenness, where the enemy meant for evil, he could have just gave up everything and said, I can't do this anymore. I'm not meant to be a pastor. I'm not meant to be a leader. I'm obviously really bad at it. And he was saying like, he was coming to the point of he hates people. He said he was going to church. He was praying. But when everything didn't happen, he was going to the car, his car. He'll be driving. He'll be cursing like a trucker. Because that was the emotion that within him felt. Being in church. He said he doesn't even want to be in his church anymore. But he doesn't know how to stop it. But he has God. We can be in a worse situation, but we can say, whenever everything is gone, it's like Job. Whatever happened, when everything is gone, if I still have God, I'm okay. But sometimes a lot of people might not even feel that they have God anymore. Steve and I, when we went to Creation Fest, I know Steve, for those who know, Steve was the pastor of a church and he stood down. But when we went to Creation Fest, a Christian festival, I think it was between 3,000 and 5,000 people. Steve was in a such much healthier place. He's not quite there yet. But he was able to, he ended up talking to so many people in Creation Fest. There were all people who used to lead church, who used to lead ministries, who used to be a leader of some sort. And then he come, so many of them came to the place of, they can't do it anymore. They said that they have lost the joy of being with Jesus. They have lost the joy of being in relationship with God. They've lost the meaning of what does it mean to be a believer through serving God. So Steve has already done this Bible study once, and he's looking forward to do it again. He was actually being able to pour into them and pray with them and minister to them from that much better, healthier place. But we are on a journey. And all of us are in a journey. And so a lot of those, like I said, I wish we'd known more earlier. Because as a believer, we do want to serve God. But a lot of the time we serve out of what I think is the right way. We don't know how to set healthy boundaries. We don't know when to say no. When there are needs, people have needs, you keep pouring into them, you keep giving people what they need, and you end up going home so tired. Your family haven't seen you for weeks. Your kids are like, where is my dad? He's leading hundreds of people, but I have no dad anymore. But a lot of the time as believers, we feel guilty of saying no to people, especially if you actually have what they need. Especially you know that you can do something for them to give them what they need. But there is the time you just have to say, no, I can't do it. I need to sleep. Or I need to take time out. I need to take a day off or a month off or even a year off. But then a lot of the time you feel like, am I failing God? Have I failed in this whole Christian walk things, the kingdom of God? And we have this false sense of responsibility, false sense of guilt, feeling like we have failed God. We have failed people. But in reality, it's actually God give us a Sabbath rest. And we have to be able to say no to people without feeling guilty, because that's from the enemy. And there are times when we actually call to love, but it's almost like the other person keep doing things their way. No matter how you love them and pour into them, they're still determined to live the way that they want to live. And again, you can feel like I have failed. And again, that is a wrong way of thinking. So we need to know what is from God. We need to know what is from the enemy. We need to know when to serve, and we need to know when to rest. And God has actually gave us all of that. He gave us the Sabbath rest. In the scriptures, many places tell us to draw away. Jesus did that. He was feeding thousands of people, and he was doing miracles. People would follow him everywhere. But even Jesus there's so many scriptures that Jesus sneak away somewhere. Whenever I read that, I always say, I understand what that feels like. When he could actually still keep healing people. When he could still keep praying for people. When he could still say like, yeah, keep on feeding them. There's so many people that are dying from hunger. But what does it mean to actually to be able to say, no, this is my boundary line. I can't do it anymore. As much as it's hurt my heart to say no to you, I have to go to be with Jesus. I have to go and be with my family, or I have to go and rest. I actually need sleep. Amazing things. God actually made us to need sleep. Imagine we didn't have to sleep. We could do so much more. But God made us that we have to have sleep. So though all of those things are ordained by God, but sometimes we actually lost that touch, thinking we have to do it all. We have to carry all the load. And we feel guilty when we are not doing it. There's a scriptures where Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So whenever I am actually in that place of feeling I am being overloaded with stuff, with responsibility, with things that I need to do, with people calling me, or if I feel that I actually can't do it. I mean, I love it when I can do it. I will say, yes, let's meet together. Yes, let's do this together. But there are times when I actually feel I can't. I just can't do it anymore. This burden is not light anymore. Then it go back to the scripture. Jesus said, come and learn from me. So that means I can actually come to Jesus and say, what am I doing that is not actually meant for me to do? I'm actually carrying something that's not mine. Or I could come to Jesus and say, okay, this is my responsibility. This is something that I'm supposed to do, but I'm still feeling burdened by it. Maybe there's a different way to do it. And Jesus is going to show me is that different way to do it, so I don't feel so heavy burden. Maybe there's time when I'm feeling a heavy burden because I'm not trusting him. I'm trying to solve this problem in my own understanding. I'm trying to make it happen. I'm trying to cover everybody's backs. I'm trying to protect everybody. I'm trying to do this and that to the point of I'm not trusting in God. Where's God in this whole equation with my Christian walk? It's almost like God is tiny. The problem I have to do is so much bigger. In reality, is God is so much bigger than whatever problem, whatever burden I have to carry. And that's for all of us. I don't believe all of those is just for leaders in the church or in any ministries. I believe that it is something that we need to nurture from as a believers in the body of Christ. Because somebody could feel even like serving tea and coffee. You keep doing it because you feel you have to. But in reality, you actually just want to take a break, but you feel you can't say no. You feel guilty about it. People are thirsty. They're dying not having a cup of tea and coffee in the morning. But we can actually say, you know what? There's a lot of people in the church. Somebody else can step up and do it instead of you keep trying to push that you have to do it. You know what? It's only a few hours in the church. If seriously nobody else can do it, we can actually leave and go home and have our cup of coffee or tea somewhere else. Even McDonald's, you know, Starbucks or something. So it's not just for leadership if we actually nurture that healthy understanding. What does it mean to walk with Christ, to have that time of silence with God, to have that time of being able to say no to people in a lovely way? Because quite often we actually hold it in, feeling we have to do it and do it. And we keep doing things that is a burden. Eventually we can't do it anymore. We just explode like a pressure cooker. And everybody look at you and say, what happened to you? And not knowing internally what is inside you have been thinking for weeks of hating everybody who needs that cup of tea or coffee. So taking that time out as we do this Bible study will help us so much. And as on a Friday night Bible study, that's what we, Steve and I are doing. We started the first one last Friday and it was really good. And it does follow some scriptures. It does talk about different, characters in the Bible. That, last Friday was talking about Saul, King Saul. Saul, and he has a lot of personality issues. And then next week, apparently we're going to David, and David was not a perfect person, but God loves him for some reason. Why? You know, And he did a lot of very awful things, David. And so that's what we will be doing with the Bible study. But at the same time, as a church, not everybody can go to Bible study. What if we journey this together? What if we actually, if you're interested, you can get the books, even if you can't come to the Bible study. And just let me know. The whole set with workbooks, and they have a devotional too. And I could order it for you. But what we actually do that with the pulpit too, and we could talk about it, we could teach on that, we can teach on what God is speaking to us. He already gave me a sermon for next Sunday, you know, for the coming season of what does it mean in scripture being silent? There's so many places when God actually told us to be silent. So I'm looking forward to share that. So let us journey this together, walk this place, walk on this together. The scripture last week when I share is, if I could find it. In Isaiah 64, back to the pot and the clay. But now, O Lord, you are our Father, it's collective, our. We are the clay, again, it's a collective, all of us, we are. And you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. So let's do this together. I feel let's journey this together. And if you can't come to Bible study, I don't want you to feel guilty. You might be in a season that you can't come. But you can, if you want to feel that, I really actually feel that maybe that book will be good for me. You can read the book. It's really good. Or maybe even we could, if there are lots more people wanting to do Bible study but can't do it on Friday, maybe we could come together at a different time. And that is very important, us to be able to serve God, serve each other in a church from a much healthier place. I just want to use that example, Sue. And I have permission from her to share this. And I appreciate, you know, like as I share this, that it wasn't coming from a horrible situation. It was coming out from her wondering and asking me for prayers. So what happened was, I think a few years ago, the first clue I got something was, she was saying like she felt that that year God has been teaching her about giving. So she'd been giving gifts to different people, and no matter how much she gives, she kept getting a lot back. She says, like, you can't outgive God. When she said that to me, I was like, God is doing something in you for a purpose. There is a purpose in that. And then shortly after that, she was the one that said, okay, we need a church committee. We need a trustee, especially with church finances, the banking stuff, all the money that keep going into the bag. Somebody have to be in charge of them. And she felt that God really put it in her heart that she can be the trustee. So so she's now our trustee, the church. And then she started doing the accounts, and Steve was showing her what to do. And then I went to prayer meeting one morning, and she said that the account is over there. It's in that room, in that corner. She wants to do it, but she said, I can't do it. It's not like she can't, as in she doesn't know how to, but can't, as in like, it was like something is holding her back. So I pray with her, and then we just ask God, what is that holding her back? And then God just showed it to her. What happened was, when she was saved in Malaysia, the church she was born again in, she learned how to walk with God. She'd done a lot of Bible study. She grew spiritually in that church. And then it turned out, one day, all hell broke loose. The leadership has been using the fund for their own self and embezzled lots and lots of money. I don't know how much. Thousands, like big, huge amounts of money. Huge, huge amounts of money for years. So when that happened, it kind of like for her whole family, it's almost like they grew up spiritually there. So somebody that leadership that you really trust and look up to, and somebody actually it was been teaching you about what does it mean to walk with God, to have that integrity, to love God and not love money, but to be doing something so awful, and it's set in her heart. That is almost like that fear. So now that she's holding to the church finance and she have that fear, what if something wrong happened? She didn't know that. She was just, when she stepped into the role, she suddenly feel that she can't do it. So that's when we pray. So we went back to the past. The Holy Spirit showed it. We pray and she got freedom. So she got set free for the present time. And then the next time I saw her, she was doing the checkbooks. She was doing the accounts. She was doing the books. And I also said that, you know what? You're actually the best person to be doing this because you knew how wrong it was and it hurt you so much. So now when you're doing this for God, you'll be the one that will be holding on what is the integrity. But also God has been showing her how to give. So it's not holding tight of the money, worrying about spending it wrong way, but actually can learn how to walk with God, the Holy Spirit, when to give and when to say no. What the enemy meant for evil, God used it for good. It's a bit like this study books. What the enemy meant for evil to destroy him and the church and the family, God has used it for good. God restored the marriages. God used him still in the church. He was pastoring the church. All that time still, even though physically, emotionally, spiritually, he couldn't do anything. So he took a long time out. And then when they actually produced these books, now the books are being sold all over the world, everywhere. Lots of churches are doing it. Lots of people are using it as a material and to learn from somebody else's mistakes. So we don't have to go through the same pain. We don't have to go through the same, wrong understanding of what does it mean to serve God or what does it mean to walk with God. And that's a blessing. So instead of being crushed to nothing and let enemy take everything, God has given back so many times. Now it's like the sweet, sweet revenge on the enemy's plan. That's the best time to have a revenge. To say, I'm not going to let enemies steal from me. To steal more from me. I'm going to do whatever it is and walk that path that God is going to give back into the kingdom of God, wherever it is. And that's a powerful thing for each one of us, to have that understanding of somebody wrote that book out of the brokenness into healthy church, healthy leading church, healthy leaderships, and a Cornerstone Church with Kyle. The leadership, they're doing the series as well. So this will be a journey. Literally, we are walking together. Maybe slightly different. And we will be doing that here as well. And we will also be just walking and hearing God together. And when they come down to preach, I'll be able to ask them to preach of what they're getting from God. Kyle, the only word I asked him to do that was when I suggest that. He was saying, it has been a very challenging season for them because they have to be vulnerable. We're really looking into the deeper inner stuff of why we keep making the same mistakes. Over and over and over again. One of the believer in this guy's church, when he was saying he's been a believer's follower of Jesus on fire for God for 23 years. But emotionally, he was so immature. He was still a 1 year old for 25 years or 23 years, whatever years he's been a believer. Instead of walking in maturity, he's actually been a 1 year old Christian over and over and over again emotionally. So he's making the same mistake over and over and over and over again. I would rather us walking with Jesus each year maturing, which each year growing in our knowledge of God, in the scripture, but also emotionally and spiritually, all of them in all those areas. And let's just do this together. Let's say the enemy cannot have a hold on us and stop us growing together anymore. Let's say to the enemy and let's say to God, Lord, whatever the hold is on, the stronghold is on me, I want to give it to you. I don't want to make the same mistake over and over again. I don't want to, or going into ministry of fearing, what if I make the same mistakes? But actually understanding God has given us tools. God has given us understanding, and he's going to walk us and teach us along the way. Because Jesus said, come and learn from me. It's not like all in one go, we're going to learn everything. But it will be a journey that we will walk together as we are the clay together. And that is my message. So this season will be a series of messages from that book. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you and we thank you, Lord God, that you are our Heavenly Father. We are your clay and you are our potter. We pray and we ask, Lord God, we want more of you. We want less of us, the part that is not functioning well. Less of us, the part that we keep doing things in our own way. Less of us, the parts that we think that this is the only way. But more of you, more of your ways, more of your understanding, more of your part completely in control over our lives, Lord God. That when people think about church, they're not going to be thinking about a horrible place, religious people, but they will actually really care. We will actually really be your light, be your salt. That instead of other people affect us, how we react, we will be the one that change our environment. Lord God, this is the mandate that you have for us on earth. But Lord God, rearrange us, Lord God, even if it means turn us upside down. Give us more of you, Lord God. As we turn upside down, we empty our pockets and we fill with you. We praise you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, as a potter, as you're kneeling and pushing and pressing the clay. We want to stay on your will. Your will be done on earth, in this place, as it is in heaven. We glorify your name. We thank you, Lord God. That is your desire. And that is our desire. Teach us and lead us, Lord God. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.